Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. My name is Futina Kirkconnell and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be among you all. It's a family affair. I don't start my show without prayer, so let's just go right into it. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and we praise you. Lord, I ask you to forgive us of all of our sins. Lord, I just come to you humbly right now in need of your grace, your mercy, and your unconditional love. I thank you for those who are tuning in right now, Lord, and those who are about to tune in and those who will be tuning in later by way of demand. I thank you for the special guest that you'll be bringing forth, we'll be bringing forth later on tonight. And I just thank you for the vision, Lord, that you've given with Chronicles. I thank you for those whose lives it has touched and those who it's about to touch. But Lord, I thank you for using me as the vessel that you have chosen to task on this mission right now, Lord. I thank you. And Lord, as I go into what you've asked me to do, I ask you to decrease me, decrease me, and I ask that you come forth, that whatever I say, whatever, not just me, but every one of us, that we say, that whatever we do is a reflection of what you would want us to say and do for those who is intended for it to be reached tonight. And it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. So this evening, we're going to be talking about a very, very interesting topic tonight. It's interesting. I was with one of my classmates this evening, one of my dear friends. I call her sister. And we were indulging into a conversation. And I'll be honest with you, I really didn't know what I was going to talk about tonight because sometimes, like I mentioned before, sometimes I don't get my topics until like the midnight hour, and today is one of those days I got the topic at the midnight hour, but the topic is so profound because it's a topic that I'm sure that, you know, I have gone through, she has gone through, and many of us have gone through or thinking about going through. Before I move forward, my name is Futina Kirkconnell. Once again, we're Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. You are tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. If you know anyone that would be interested in tuning the show tonight, you are more than welcome to. They can log into www.blogtalkradio.com/Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. They might also call in if they want to chime in and speak, or if they just want to listen to the show, they may do that as well by calling in to area code 914-338-1552. Those more than the website link is usually the best way if you just want to listen. If you want to chime in, you're more than welcome to give us a call at the 914-1552. I want to thank everyone for the emails. I really, really appreciate the emails that I get sent in. And I do try to respond to you within 24 to 48 hours. And if I don't, please charge it to my head and not my heart. But I do try to respond within that time frame. And I believe I have responded to everyone's email at this point. But you're more than welcome to email me at C as in Charlie, OAFwoman@gmail.com. Once again, that's C as in Charlie, OAFwoman@gmail.com. Now that we got the pleasantries done, we're going to talk about our topic tonight. And the topic clearly says, I do until eternity. What brought this topic on is very interesting, with, like I mentioned before, having a conversation earlier, and we were just talking about just life in general. I am a person who's been married and now divorced. I've been divorced probably 16 years now, and we were just talking about life after divorce, and mainly, you know, why we are where we are, you know, how we ended up getting married, And when we do a reflection of our life, of how we are now, what could have been avoided? What could the marriage have been saved? You know, could it not have been saved? Or better yet, could we have spared ourselves that situation had we been better prepared going into it? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. I do until eternity. When we start, when we get married, most of us, we get married with the intentions that it's going to be death to do us part. At least that was mine at first when I got there. It was like, I would have never thought that I would end up in divorce, because my goal was when I got married is there is no divorce. We're going to work it out. We're going to make this happen. And when it didn't happen like that, it was pretty devastating for me, to say the least. But I was a big girl. I finally had to get over it. And then the thing about it is I had to look at it like, at what point, you know, where did I go wrong, or what went wrong? Because there's always two people in a situation. So before I move further, you all know I love the Google. So I just looked up a couple words, and eternity was one of the words I looked up. And according to Google, eternity is described as a noun. It's an infinite or unending time. And then I looked up the word love, because, hey, we marry for love, right? That is considered a noun as well. An intense feeling of deep affection. And the second is a great interest or pleasure in something. Now, love can be described as a noun, but it can also be described as a verb as well. And the verb for the word love is described as to feel a deep romantic or sexual attachment to someone. But either way, these are all components of a marriage. And what we consider a marriage. These are all components. And so tonight we're going to discuss, you know, before you say I do, when you're getting ready to get married, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're pending, you know, maybe you're in a situation, you know, these are just tidbits. And like I said, we're no one psychologist, professionals. We're just people who have experienced life. And this is just some, you know, life experiences. And the best way for people to know, you know, this is a real show, real life experiences. And the only way I know is to share it. And that's what we're going to do here tonight. We're going to continue to do that. So without further ado, I want to introduce my returning guest, Ms. Frederica Wells. Thank you for tuning in to for joining us at Chronicles of a Fonder Woman. How are you this evening?
I am wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. How are
awesome.
You today?
I am
great,
fantastic
great.
Now. I think I'm finally settling down for today. And when I got into the show, before I got into the show, I had a situation at home in South Carolina that I had to try to attend to, and then I had to get my mind right to come get ready for the show. But, you know, hey, to God be the glory, we're going to keep it moving. But I was listening to another podcast prior to coming on to the show, and it was very interesting, and that's going to be a discussion for a later date. But I couldn't help but to wonder, as I was looking up information about this evening effort show, some of the things that, you know, we were just talking about earlier from a prior conversation, and, you know, our experiences and what we want to share tonight, or some of the nugget of wisdom that we want to share tonight, you know, coming up with that defining subject, because I thought about a different subject, but it was so, this subject is so perfect, I do until eternity, because, I don't know about you, but for me, when I got married with the intentions that, hey, this is forever. I'm marrying because this is going to be it. You know, there is no divorce, because I personally came from a divorced family, and I didn't want that to happen. I didn't want that life for me. I didn't want that to happen for me. So divorce was was an option, but when it was not a choice to be an option, it was very interesting for me.
Yeah, I'm with you. I saw when I got married, this was going to be a lifetime thing until death do us part. I look at it as a physical death that was going to be the only thing that separate us. I knew that, I mean, we used to sit around and make goals. I was so in tune on this being life that I knew, you know, plans of what it was going to be like when we got older, when the kids left the house. When we got to the point that we couldn't even stay home, we was going to have to go to a nursing home, how it was going to be done. So, yeah, I just knew it was going to last forever. I knew it.
You know, and it's very interesting because, you know, I'll even go out on a limb and believe that my ex thought the same thing, too. You know, when we got married, we just thought this was it. You know, we going to, it's, you know, as the back in the day, we like ride or die. And, you know, it's, this is it. This, you know, it's interesting. I was looking at the wedding vows, like the traditional wedding vows. I'm trying to think, did I in the views? I'm sure I did. That's so sad. I don't remember that, but it's been so long ago. But I thought it was interesting reading where it says, I take thee to be my wedded husband or wife, to have and to hold from this day forth, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, to death do us part, according to God's holy ordinance, and thereto I pledge thee my faith, or I pledge myself to you. For me,
yes,
I took that very seriously. I took that as, when I got married, it was like a shield. There was a shield that was placed over me and my family. Anything from the outside could not penetrate it. Could not penetrate it. But when the bubble started breaking on the inside, it was devastating for me.
And that's the thing, because like you said, nothing from the outside can penetrate it. Nothing. You foresee that nobody on the outside can come in within your circle or your bubble and mess this up. And that's what I foresee. And the key word was, when the bubble from the inside stopped breaking, you, I can speak for me that no matter what was going on, I always try to cover it up. I try to handle it within the home. I try to, when we walk, it can be a heated argument, but if somebody walked up in the driveway, all you saw was smiles and greeting. You didn't know something was wrong. And that's what we try to do. But the funny thing about it, when we do that, a lot of time, we do not go back and address the issue. And so much piling up on those bubbles, eventually they're going to stop popping. And what happens when we have a pan full of bubbles? If eventually they all go away and it's just the water, all you see.
You know, going back to, you know, you know, you put on that front, because I'm a big person that, you know, proponent of, listen, in public is a unified front. Now, I'm telling you about yourself in private, but in public is a unified front. And I've learned how I am today. If my head cannot hit a pillow until this is resolved, until this situation right here, I can't carry stuff over to the next day, or we can agree to disagree. If we could just acknowledge that there is an issue and we need to deal with it, I can agree to disagree that maybe we need to table it for a second. Because sometimes right then and there may not be a good time, because if our headspace is not there, we're both not there, then we need to table it. And I'm okay with that, as long as we can acknowledge it and then get to a point where We have to resolve this. It has to be a resolution. Whether you stand your ground, I stand my ground, but at some point we got to either come to the table of reasoning. And we can agree to disagree. You feel this way, I feel that way, but the resolution is this. What can we do to resolve this so we don't end up in this situation again? How are we going to handle that? And if we can come to an amicable resolution, we're going to be all right.
But you know what's so funny? Because when you said that, we can come to – the question to me is, this problem that you're dealing with, was it something that you didn't even have to come to if it was addressed before y'all even decided to get married? Communication, whatever the issue was it something that, well, you just assume or he just assumed? Because nobody really talked about it before the fact.
Well, you got a good point there. So let's kind of switch gears a little bit. Let me, before we move to that, hold that. Don't forget that thought. Before we move to that. Well, yeah. Well, let's go. Let me switch the gears because it kind of tunes. It kind of links into it. It goes back to, you know, not having that conversation. It gives those flags of, okay, well, did we even discuss this? You know, how are we gonna handle this situation? And if we are there, okay. If we are there, so now we have to think about, we've never had this situation before. We weren't prepared for this situation. How are we going to deal with this? And then how are we going to make sure we don't come into this situation again, as I mentioned before? But it does it does go into things we need to prepare. And as we, when we get to that part, you know, on things that we need to do, you know, to prepare ourselves for stuff like that, we're definitely going to address that. That's something that we're definitely going to address. But even going back even further, you know, when we get to that I do, or, you know, we go into eternity, you know, I just know that I my marriage was I call it a microwave marriage. I call it a microwave marriage, mainly because I got married for the wrong reasons. You know, I'm an open book, so I'll just put it out there. You know, I got married for the wrong reasons and had everything to do with lust versus love, number one. It was based on the wrong foundation, all based on the not. It wasn't just that, but that was the one of the main proponents of it, because I couldn't see anything past the rose-colored glasses. You know, we both couldn't. We just both couldn't see nothing past the rose-colored glasses. And then when the dust started settling, it was like, wow, what have I gotten myself into? And I found myself with someone that, you know, I've always been that person that I was very reluctant when it comes to trusting people, because I come from an abuse background. So when I found someone or that I thought I could confide in and talk to, I found that the stuff that I confided to him ended up being thrown back in my face later on. That was a problem for me. Because one, I built up the nerve to tell you that, to share things like that with you, and then to have it thrown back in my face was a problem for me. It was a problem for me. Or you throwing it in my face. That was a problem for me. So, red flag. Number two, I mean, what, you know, besides the fact, Baron, for the wrong reasons, okay, I didn't seek God about that whatsoever. I didn't. I did what I wanted to do. You know, I've learned that the Bible was made for a reason. If we follow it, life is going to be good. But we don't. We're human. We do not come without fault or whatever. Biblical, practical things that we should do is there for a reason. Is there for a reason. Because it saves us from being hurt. It just saves us being out. There are some things that are just common sense. And as women, we have that sixth sense because, you know, we'll get that inkling. It'll be revealed to us. That one is not for you. We'll get them red flags early. You will know that person is not for you. You will know.
But you know what? That's funny you say that because we get those red flags. And a lot of time, we see these red flags, and I can say for me, oh, I'm just being hard. No, those flags are there for a reason. Or, as I've heard some women say, oh, no, that's not an issue. I can deal with that. You say that because this is what you want right then and right now. But what happens is, are you going to continue to deal with that issue later on? I have a tendency of telling people. I have a tendency of telling people the best thing to do when it comes to a relationship is be a person's friend. A friend with no motives have an open book because they have no motives, they have no secrets. But what happens is, when there's motives, there's some things they're not going to tell you because they're listening to you to make sure, okay, I got to be what she's looking for. So I'm not going to tell her about
what you need.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And not just him, but she does the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It goes vice versa. And what happens is the red flags are there. And when I say it's so big and red, tell it's not funny. But we choose because we either don't want to be alone or we got a point to prove that we can get this person. It's something that makes us overlook that red flag, and then later on when it really gets to the point you can't handle it, then you go, well, I didn't see this before. Yes, you did.
Or
it was
I didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, you did.
Yes.
Yeah, everybody got a fault. When a marriage does not work, it's both parties. It takes two to tango.
Thank you. And I'm quick to say, I played my part of mine.
Yes, I played part of mine too. It took me a while. I finally figured out, okay, this is where I went wrong. This is where I went wrong. And I take that as a learning lesson. I want to piggyback on something you said. When you said, you know, besides the fact people become what that person wants them to become, you know, or a lot of us feel like, especially females, well, I can change him. I can love him.
Yes.
Love him and change him. No, you can't change somebody who don't want to be changed.
Thank you.
You can't love somebody. You know, you're dealing with a clown in the circus. You change your face with the occasion. You just can't do it. But eventually, them faces are going to stop and the real face going to come on. All you got to do is a give a person time. They will, once they get real comfortable, they are going to reveal themselves.
As they say, will the real you stand up?
Exactly. I remember I was in a situation I know I shouldn't have been in. I was getting all types of red flags. I had a stroke. Didn't know I was having a stroke. I didn't know it was a stroke. I never went to the hospital. It wasn't until I had the second one was when I found out, oh, my gosh, that was a stroke. And I didn't even go to the hospital. That's how you know you got your Heavenly Father watching over you. When you get through the first one. And now he's telling you, all right, now I already brought you through this. Now I got your attention. Now I need to talk to you. Okay? we're not going to do this again now. We're not going to do this again. I need you to do some things. I got some work for you to do. We got to do some things. And I'll be honest with you. Those life experiences, those rose-colored glasses, let's face it, we're all grown. Sex, I get it. I totally get it. I totally get it. But I tell you, when that's gone, what do you have? That's when the real you going to show up. It's going to show up, and it's just like, I'm sorry. It's just temporary satisfaction. You're trying to make an eternity out of a short-lived situation. Mm-mm. It's not. Let me tell you something I learned about marriage. Easy to get in, but hard to get out. Easy to get in. There's not no boyfriend or girlfriend. Y'all get mad. Y'all can pout and, you know, go in your own corners. You go into your house. You go to your house. He go to his house, whatever the case may be. Now, y'all married now. Y'all, where y'all going? Where y'all going? Where you going? And then, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just thinking.
I was just getting ready to say, and then when we start going at odds at one another, not just the sex part, but, you know, when we get to a point where there's a shift, when it starts shifting, you know, when we're not sinking anymore, when we're arguing, we're now arguing, you know, things are not the same. Things, you know, we don't talk to each other anymore. The way we're treating one another is a little cold and distant. You know, now at this point, we just going through the motions. We just kind of just going through the motions.
That's one of the key things I have. And it took me going through to learn a lot of what I know now.
Mm-hmm.
It took me going, some things I knew from the beginning, but a whole lot I learned afterwards that I wish I had knew in the beginning. And that, mm-hmm. that what you're talking about right now is one of the key things. It's actually the first key point that I always say, communication. Are you free to communicate with that person? Do you feel comfortable communicating with that person? Can that person feel comfortable discussing issues? If y'all can't discuss issues before marriage, y'all are not going to be able to discuss. I didn't say argue. Discuss issues after marriage.
I agree with you. I agree. You know, my question is, why doesn't a person feel comfortable coming to why, for instance, I know of someone that was married to someone and found out a lot of things about this person after they got married. Now I'm like, wow. And the first thing I'm like is, you didn't see no signs of that? You know, and the response is no. And I like this. One thing I know, there's always some type of sign. Now, granted, you do have some situations where you just don't. But my thing is, why, especially when it comes to females, a female always wants to share things when it comes to their significant other. At least I do. Why do you think, and this is just a general question, why do you think people don't feel comfortable sharing intimate or necessary information to their significant other to a point where you just let it go to the point where you get married and then they find out after the fact? Why not tell them now?
Fear of rejection, fear of not being accepted. Fear that they're going to look at you in a different eye view.
Yeah, but why would you feel that way? What makes you feel that way? I mean, I can look at now two different angles. I get what you're saying, the fear of rejection, fear of feeling. But if you're with that person, why would you feel, I get the rejection part. but why would you feel he'll think of you in the, I even get that part too, but why? I guess my thing is, I don't know if I could be with someone that I cannot, I can't marry someone again. I can't go through marriage again with someone that I cannot be upfront. Like, listen, my attitude now is pretty much, or has been for the past few years, this is what you're dealing with. X, Y, Z, whatever. You need to make a decision. This is what you can live with, and this is what you can deal with. And that's how I like people to be with me. Let me know what I'm dealing with.
But that's you who says,
yeah,
this is who you got to deal with. So you can. But there's a lot of people that would be a, they will put on a mask to show a whole different person from who they really are, because they want to have this partner next to them.
Right. Right.
And I'm going to say for me, personally me, I'm going to give you, this is who I am. Okay, like you say, this is who I am. But at one time in my life, I kept a smile on my face and I wouldn't tell people how I truly felt inside. And not knowing, not letting people know how I truly felt was killing me slowly inside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was killing me and I didn't realize it. But at the same time, I'm killing me. I can't say nobody else. I'm killing me. That person who I was hiding all this from was going on about their business. Why? Because every time they says, what's wrong? Oh, it's nothing wrong. I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't I want to tell them I was okay? Because I felt as though they would look at me as being weak.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was always known as the strong one.
Mm-hmm. And that's,
and
what,
I can only
that's
speak
one of
me.
Those. That's one of those. That's a, I don't want to show you I'm vulnerable, because if you see that I'm vulnerable, to me, I felt like you're going to take me as being weak, and then you're going to try to get the best of me. And I can't have that, because I'm not, that means I'm not in control. I get it. Even when it comes to, I get it. You know what's interesting, because in my, I've only been married once, but in my marriage, I found where I lost myself behind it. I allowed myself, I'm going to say maybe, I allowed myself to get in a situation where I didn't even recognize who I was. And I was like, no, we're not doing that no more. No, we're not doing that. I've learned. That situation has caused me to learn. And I think I had one other situation that was my youngest son's father. That was a interesting situation as well. But that one, you know, them red flags was way out there. And I just, you know, I was just in love as far as I was concerned. And he'll change. And I had this thing called H-O-P-E, hope. Hope.
You know what? I'm going to share this, and I'm going to share this hoping that somebody will understand. My husband was someone I had dated in the past before. And we dated. Things were not good. I saw things that I liked. I saw things that I did not want to spend the rest of my life with. We called it a quit. It was a rough thing in the end. He went his way. I went mine. Several years later, and I'm saying this because I want people to understand, we are Christians, but we're not crazy. 7 years later, when he came back, he talked about his change. And I always ask God to put forgiveness in my heart. So I already have forgave him. So I felt as though this clock came back around again, that maybe this was the opportunity, because I at once was in love with him. But this time when I got with him, it was all good, but I married him for the wrong reason. I married him for my son reason. I felt as though my son needed a man in his life. I cared about him, but I married him for my son. And when the relationship between him and my son changed, it was like the air in the relationship changed. And the thing about it is, we as women, we can love our kids so much that we're willing to walk through hell with gasoline drawers in for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just keeping it real.
Mm-hmm.
And even in communicating with him, I still tried to hold my marriage together. But our marriage didn't break apart because of my son, but because of outside people who caused that bubble to start busting.
Mm.
We got to realize as women, when we get as single women and we want a partner in our life, yes, our kids are in the middle, but step back because them kids eventually going to leave the house. They're going to be part of it. But the six key points that I'm going to point out tonight is something we still need to know for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
If these six key points are covered before you said I do, then right back to that communication level, we'll be able to discuss anything that comes in our marriage. I'm not saying everything going to be perfect. All T's ain't going to be crossed and all I's ain't going to be dotted. And you might have to come back to the table and say, well, baby, we had this discussion before we got married. Just to bring it back to the forefront, and it would be easy to have that conversation.
Mm-hmm. 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 You know, you said something earlier about communication. That is so crucial. I was just talking to a friend of mine yesterday. Communication. I mean, I need to know. I want to know. I'm one of those people. I want to know. If something's wrong, if I've offended you, let me know. I was talking with a friend of mine maybe about a month or so ago, and he told me that I was hurting. I hurt his feelings. And I'm saying to myself, why didn't you say something? And he's like, well, I didn't want to hurt your feelings. Well, you hurt my feelings when you don't say anything. I'm not that person. I can't make it right if I don't know I'm doing something wrong.
That's true.
So communication is so crucial. And I've been in a situation before where I was dating someone, and this is a dating stage, where I was communicating my feelings and he was shunning it off and brushing it off and downplaying it. Now, ladies, gentlemen, if what I have to say is not important, that's a message for me. You only get three strikes. Because I tell people ahead of time, I'm going to conversate with you. I'm going to attempt to conversate with you. And if it does not work, then you might be wondering, where am I at or what's going on? Well, just know there's been a shift. Because when I stop talking, there is a problem. Everyone knows that I'm a talker. And I would just say, just in general, as women, once we're done about something and we give you, all we do is talk about it, as long as we're talking about it, there is still a chance. When we stop talking about it, we're done. There's no conversation at this point. Because we didn't say everything we're going to say. The bottom line is you're not going to do anything. Females, if you're a man, you get it. First of all, it's very rare. I won't say it's rare, but it's refreshing when you can find a man who wants to have a communication with you, who wants to communicate with you, and you shun that brother, and you do it one too many times, don't be upset if he decides not to talk to you no more. But just know he's got somebody's ear.
Somebody's ear. I was fixing to say that. My pastor always said that. He says, men, if you're not listening to her, somebody else will. Women, yep, if you can't sit and listen to him when he want to talk to you, don't be mad when somebody else is.
That's true.
And if they keep their ear long enough, eventually they're going to get that person.
And your ear ain't going to mean how he'll mean someone.
Nope.
And that's when it comes to they start treating you differently. They don't care what you look like. You could have on gasoline underwear. They wouldn't care. They might throw some water on you. Hopefully it won't make the fire worse. They may throw a towel on you. They may not.
But see, all that communication should be done, should start in the friendship slash dating stage.
Friendship dash dating stage. Better yet, what happened to the courting stage? People don't court no more.
No.
Mm-mm.
No. No.
They don't court
no
more. And the courting stage,
but
there
you know
is
what?
No sex.
No.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're courting just to see if you are going to go date and take it to a whole new level. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm not knocking anyone. There's no judgment.
Yeah. Yeah. But when you start communicating, that's when these other things come up. Just general questions. I mean, you can have general questions, what I call scenarios. Because when you talk to somebody, what if? It opens the door for communication. When you start discussing, because you get into that courting stage, like you say, and then you're now dating, and it's like, you know what? We're talking about long-term. Let's discuss what you're wanting out of life or what kind of lifestyle are you preferring. You know, there's a whole lot of questions that needs to be asked, whether you're your first-time marriage, your second-time marriage, whether you have kids before this marriage or don't have no kids.
Well, you know what? Let's go right into those six principles you were talking about because I have some too. So I'm curious to see what yours are.
Okay. Communication was the first one. You got to have that. That's
okay,
the opening
so before,
door for the rest.
Before we do that, I want everyone to know you're tuning into Chronicles of a Fondle Woman. This is Fatina Kirkendall. It's always a privilege and a pleasure to be here. If you know anyone who would be interested in tuning in tonight or just enjoy this conversation tonight with no other than my special guest, Ms. Frederica Wells, you can have them call in and chime in at 914-338-1552. That's 914-338-1552. Or they can log in to www.blogtalkradio.com/ Chronicles of a Fondle Woman. You're more than welcome to leave a message or email me a message at any time. Thank you so much for sending your all your emails at coafwoman@gmail.com. Once again, that's coafwoman@gmail.com. Tonight we're talking about I Do for Until Eternity, and we're basically talking about those who are dating, engaged, married, getting ready to get married, engaged, or those who are even divorced or possibly thinking of divorce. Just certain principles to think about. But if you are thinking about doing the I Do's, just some of the things we need to think about. We are not psychiatrists, we're not licensed therapists or anything like that. We're just people with testimonies who've been there and done that, just sharing their testimonies. With that being stated, so we've already reflected on ways of how we ended up in situations, lack of communication, distractions, or ignoring red flags, red signals of not being in a situation or in a relationship that you should not be in. Now we're honing in now on things we need to be mindful of before we start saying, I do. You have the floor, Ms. Frederica.
Yes. Now, when we before we decide that we want to jump in the box, get married, and we need to ask each other, what kind of lifestyle that we want? And I say that because some people, and I have met a lot of people, who one wants the city life. That's what they want. They want to be in the middle of the city. The other one wants the country atmosphere. Guess what? It becomes an argument. One is more calm, laid down, let's be, you know, relaxed. The other one is more hype. I'm ready to go, 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 go. You have to ask this question. I'm going to go on before we get any deep. The other one is career goals. A lot of times we jump into a marriage before we know what kind of career goals a person has. Me and someone can be together, and I have a career goal of going back to college and getting my degree and opening a business, where this person over here is saying, hey, I'm just barely making ends meet. You're not going to college. So now I'm mad at you because my life is coming to a halt. The other one was family planning. We'd be surprised at how many people got married. One did not have any plans of having kids. Another one wants 3, 4, 5 kids. Did you discuss this before you said I do? Personal values is so important. That one is, it was just mind-blowing. And the last, and I say this is the last, but you realize how important it is, was sex. Because it is, you got two different people who's thinking two different things. And if you can't get on one common ground, someone can easily step outside that relationship.
And that's very important. And you got to have that communication, especially in that particular area right there. I mean, you got to have it for all, but let's face it. When it comes to marriage, finances and sex, it's one of the things. Don't get me wrong. God is foremost important. Don't get me wrong. But we're just talking about the other foundation. Sex is a big part of marriage, okay? And that fulfillment should always come from the home. And you have to be able to communicate with your significant other regardless, because no one should be trying to tippy-toe out the household. The typical only needs to be done around our bed. So, yeah, I agree with you on that one.
But what happens is, and I've heard this from a lot of people, what happens is you get married and you get comfortable, well, I got him or I got her.
Mm-hmm.
And everything you did to get them, you stopped doing. So the
I was
fire
always told, don't start
before,
nothing, you can't continue.
Thank you. The fire that was there before is now dying out.
I agree. If you start something, you better be willing to finish it. I mean, to death do us part. To death do us part, whether the man or the woman. If you start something, be prepared to finish it. Don't start nothing that you ain't plan on keeping up. Don't do anything. Did you give your six? Could you go over the six one more time?
Communication. Lifestyle preference. Your career goals. Your family planning values. Your personal value, and sex.
It's funny because I was on psychology today and just talking about, you know, some questions, some of the right questions to ask or things to consider, but questions to ask. Some of them one in particular you hit on point that they had on there, and that's number six on the list. And number two, One was children. Is there agreement of having children? When and how many? Who's going to take care of them? How long will the mom and dad stay at home? If there's a problem with fertility, is adoption an option? If we have a change of heart about any of these questions, how do we negotiate the prior arrangement? That's very big.
Oh.
Very big, because if you're dealing with someone who has no intention of having children, that's going to be a problem. That's going to be a big problem. In-laws, what is the policy regarding family visits on holidays? How do we deal with aging or a dependent parent? That's very important. But, you know, for me, you got to be with somebody who's in sync with that, because I grew up with my grandmother. So, you know, you won't have to understand. That's part of the package, you know. But I have to understand, too. We got to be able to come to that table of reasoning. So it will have to be very important to me that I know family values to you is just as important. And I will have to understand that I'm still a wife, okay? Work. Who determines whose job will dictate where we live? Are all promotions and raises and salaries acceptable, even if they require more time away from the family? Number four, money. What are our expectations of each other for financial contribution to the family? What is the maximum one person can spend without consent from the other? Do we want to have a budget? Now, money, besides money is another thing. There's nothing to play with. You definitely want to be in agreement with that. Friendship. This was a good one right here. Is it okay for us to have friendship of the opposite sex? How much time do we spend with our friends? How do we deal with it if one feels neglected? That's a conversation for another show. Okay? Sexuality is the same way that you said. You know, how do we handle if there's a difference in rates of sexual desires? How open are we to us having different sexual techniques? Is there a willingness to seek professional help if there's a sexual problem? If so, when? How do we deal with it if one person wants to get help and the other one doesn't? You know, those are very good questions. And we have to work prior to decide. If you want to keep your marriage together. That's the only thing I'm going to say on that. Number seven, separateness and togetherness. What will be the ideal amount of time spent together and for each apart? I personally don't want to be want somebody all up under me all the time. My thing is, I believe everybody needs their alone time, including myself. Go enjoy. You know, after a certain amount of time, text, you all right? You know, check in. Hey, everything all right? You did? No, I'm good. I'm good with that, because after a certain amount of time, we don't need to be out in the street. We can come up with an idea of time. Listen, unless we're together after a certain time, we don't need to be out individually, because nothing good going to be in the street after a certain amount of time. That's just me. Privacy. What is our policy regarding communication about our personal and marital concerns with other people? Number nine, love. What are our preferred ways of having love expressed? I was like, wow. So when I heard you talking, I was like, man, that's not too far from what I was reading today. Not at far at all. But, you know, but these are very valid concerns. These are things that you have to keep in mind. And even if you're newly married, you know, and you haven't thought about so many things, this time you might want to, you know, this is where marriage counseling comes into play. You know, premarital counseling, it is very necessary. It is there for a reason. And my goal is, whenever I get married again, if it's God's will for me to get married again, premarital counseling is definitely a must. It is a must. It is a must for me and my significant other. And for me, I'm all y'all, you all, everyone knows that I'm in therapy now. And, you know, if you got toxin in your body from an old relationship or old relationships or stuff that you've dealt with, deal with it. Now, I've told y'all before, there's nothing wrong with seeking help if it's for the betterment of your good. Do it. I know I'm doing it because I'm just, I can't be like, what's that song by Erykah Badu, Bag Lady.
Oh, man.
I can't continue to carry around all this stuff. I finally have to, you know, get it out and start talking about it and deal with it because it's not fair that someone else has to pay with someone else for somebody else's sins. So I have to take
That's
it
true.
Upon myself, you know. But the person that will come along will, and when God sends that person will be able to see, or that person will be able to, you know, he will have that person equipped to handle whatever that situation is. But these are all valid points, and I just want to thank you, Frederica, for coming on tonight. I just thank you for everything. Thank you for sharing your points. Thank you for sharing your story, because I am sure it has helped someone tonight because someone needs to hear it. That's what I love about Chronicles is that it is just real talk about real issues and real people because people need to understand that you're not by yourself. That's what this platform is all about. You're not by yourself. There are people out there who are going through the same thing that you're going through. And the only way to assist is to let people know you're not by yourself. And that's why I love what I love most about Chronicles. We're in year two, I can't say we're in infancy stage now. We're not, because we're past the 1 year anniversary and we're working on year two, and I'm so excited about what's to come and what's going to be in store. Because it's just elevating, it's elevating, it's elevating. And the fact that, you know, I've seen listeners from all over the country, it's just very humbling for me to have this experience and just to be used. And I'm just grateful. I'm so, so very grateful about it. You all know the background of Chronicles and how it came about with my tagline, you know, from once a victim, now a victor. And we're all like that. And I can say that about Frederica safely, you know, once a victim and now a victor. When you all listened to her testimony the last time, we talked about, you know, I still sticks in my head about how when you were at home, you were feeling some kind of way. And it wasn't until you left home is when you found your voice and you found yourself.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just, that's what it does. You know, that's what life experiences does for us. You know, you just take your lemons, you add some water, you put some sugar in it, and you, what do you make? You make your lemonade. So what the enemy tried to use to destroy you, God will use it for your good. And look at us now, talking and telling our testimony and our story, and whatever that could be used to help someone else, that is what is here. That's why we're here, to help and to let people know that you're not here by yourself. You're here, and we're here to let you know that you're not by yourself. The struggle is real for everyone, but the struggle doesn't have to be a lonely struggle. Because someone's here, and someone's here to embrace it, and someone's here to embrace you, let you know that once a victim can now be a victor. And the only thing you could do is pay it forward and turn back and help someone else. That is the best way to do it. So I thank you for tuning in to Chronicles of a Fonder Woman. My name is Virginia Kirkendall. It's always a privilege and pleasure. I thank you again, Ms. Frederica Wells. And until we meet again, I want everyone to know that I love you, but God loves you more. And have a good night.
Good night.